thankful that technology has allowed us the ability to do these things. You know, it's we live in trying times. I don't know any other way of saying it. But it is truly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I don't think that I would be fair to you if I didn't at least start with telling you a little bit about this. I'm obviously making a mess with this one because it fell off. I'm having some technical difficulties. Hang on a second. I promise it'll stop in a minute. Maybe that'll work. I get a thumbs up in the back. Good deal. Whew, boy, I just got loud. Y'all may prefer it to be at my feet by the time I get done. But anyway, it's good to be here today. As was said in Sunday school, those of you that weren't here for Sunday school, I originally hailed from Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church over around Lexington, Tennessee. That's where I was, you might say, born and raised, so to speak. My mother, that was her family church. My great-grandfather was a deacon of that church until his death the year I was born. So my family has a long history there. But God seemed fit to show me where I stood as a 12-year-old boy in July of 1985. And on July 31st, somewhere around the midnight hour, God seemed fit to save my soul. And thus began my real life. Now, my struggles along the last path have been numerous. I'm sure with many of y'all it has been as well. I guess you might say I was blessed to have been around a great deal, many people that were influencers on my life. They give me instilled in me the desire to learn God's Word at an early age. And I never will forget my former pastor, Brother Calvin Perrigo. As a 16-year-old young man, he kind of started pushing a few of us into teaching Bible studies on Wednesday night. And it is something to this day that I do treasure. Because I want to encourage all of you here today in that regard. You're never too young to start. You're never too young to start. Because if there's any one thing I do want to share with you today about my history, is the installation within myself of the importance of studying God's Word is what has made me today. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that I have everything figured out, because I don't. I was born December the 26th. I'm a Christmas baby. 1972. I'll soon be 48 years old. I'm in my midlife crisis, okay? I've got a 22-year-old son by the name of Christian and a daughter who will be 18 tomorrow, and a wife of almost 25 years who's not with me today, unfortunately, because of the demands of work. I want to start by asking you people to please pray for that situation. The entire time that I have been standing in the pulpit, my wife, with the exception of illness, has never not been at my side. Things have changed at her employer, and needless to say, she's not here today. And I'm sure your pastor can tell you they're a great help, and they're missed when they're not here. But backing up just a little bit, before I met my wife, I lost my mind. Literally. At the ripe old age of 17, God called me to preach. And And I ran from that as hard as I have ran from anything in my life. Now, without sparing you any too many details, because I don't want to get too lengthy today, I understand that the clock's back there for me to look at and not you. So I understand that. I get it. But in all seriousness, I am 17 years old. God called me to the ministry, and I told him no. Young people, I don't recommend that. And in the process of that, Satan found me other things to do. Now, I will say this. It was during that time in my life that I met my wonderful wife. We got married. We had our first child. When I finally started coming back to my senses, we started going back to church, and I got the privilege of helping my wife wade out into the waters of baptism because she had broken her foot 6 weeks before. You see, even though I was still being disobedient to God, God was blessing in ways and preparing in ways that I cannot to this day explain to you. My oldest son was saved somewhere about 2011. It wasn't necessarily a great year in many regards, but he didn't tell it till the next year. I was guilty of that myself. And I got to witness him go into the waters of baptism. About that same time, I was teaching Sunday school at Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church. Didn't want to. They just made me. And so began my process of getting back in the book. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm like every other lay member here. I guarantee you that most of y'all here probably study your Sunday school lesson at least. If you don't, you should. But you know, it was during those few years that I tried in my weak and feeble way to do other things to satisfy God's call on my life, and it just wasn't going to happen. I think I may have said 2013 earlier in Sunday school, but it was actually in 2014 during the revival season there at Oak Grove that I finally announced to the world my call to preach. In case y'all hadn't figured it out, that hadn't been that many years ago. I'm kind of like Elihu. I'm a young man in the ministry. A little long in the tooth in some ways, but standing here before you, I'm a novice. But you know, I'm ever grateful and thankful for every opportunity that God has given me. I'm thankful for the abilities that he has given me to be able to study. I'm thankful for the church that he called me to pastor, Westport Missionary Baptist Church, in the latter part of 2016. I never take any moment that God gives me in service to him for granted, and I hope you don't either. Because it is truly a privilege to be here today. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, there's times, especially in the ways that things are now, that opportunities for ministers that are not pastoring churches, it's hard to find an opportunity to stand for your Lord. We don't always have the same number of services we have. Many revival services this year were canceled because of the things that are going on. There's lots of things in this world that are hindering God's people right now. If you have your Bibles, I do desire a sincere interest in your prayers this morning. The thought that I have upon my heart this morning is rather scattered. It's evolving even as I stand before you. And all I ever want to do and all I ever want to say is what so be God would have me to say. You know, I often, as I stand up here, I often stop and I think to myself, well, you know, God, are you sure? God, are you sure? You know, and I'll be honest with you, I take this very seriously as I stand before you today. You know, I don't know about you, but as I've mentioned in my little introduction, if you want to call it that, there was a period of time in my life that I was away from God. Not only was I away from God, but I was in direct opposition to His will for my life. And you know, and then the thing is, I want you to understand this. God is just. And I am thankful that I know what the chastening hand of the Lord feels like. But it is because of that chastening that I have no doubt, if I ever did, where I'm going one day when I die. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if there is nothing else that you can get from today's short time here in this church house or in the parking lot, is this. There is nothing in this world more important than knowing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not schools, not COVID, not nothing. You see, I'm afraid of a great deal many things these days. I'll be the first to admit to you. You know, I'm human. I worry. I could give you a long list of things in my life right now that are in complete disarray. My daughter, who will turn 18 tomorrow, does not have a testimony and shows no interest. My son, who I've already said I had the privilege of watching him be baptized, will soon be 23 years old and has not been to church in almost a year. Those of you that are long in the tooth and have older children, I know you know what I mean when I say that there are some things in life that hurt. Especially when you can't do anything about them. But you know, I want you to understand this. There is nothing new under the sun, I believe, is how Solomon put it. And we'll find over here in the book of Judges, over here in this sixth chapter, and again, my thoughts are going to be varied today. I do appreciate the young lady for giving me the water this morning. I see her smiling back there. It will come in very handy, I assure you. But we find over here where, of course, like many of us in times past, maybe this sermon is just as much for me as it is for anyone else here today. I don't know. All I'm going to do is follow the Lord and let Him lead in this direction. But we find over here in the book of Judges, over here in this sixth chapter, I'm only going to read a couple of verses. We find where Israel had done what Israel would always do. They'd run astray. They'd run amok. And over here in this sixth chapter, the first verse, I'm going to pick up reading there, and it simply says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds." Made them dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. You know, I don't know how many of y'all have ever been in a cave, but basically all it is a hole in the ground. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Digging holes. Sounds like an interesting topic, I'm sure, you know. Digging holes. Well, what's this preacher going to talk about digging holes? Well, let me start by saying this. Just as the children of Israel had run to the holes in the ground, many of us have done the same thing. Many of God's people I'm afraid have gotten to the point where they're afraid to stand up and be accounted as God's chosen people. You see, I don't know about you, but it's obvious to me that we live in a day and a time when society in general does not want anything to do with us. Can I get an amen? And you know what? I don't get me wrong. I understand the situations that we are in today. I'm not blind to the fact of what's going on in our society, what's going on in our world. I look around and I see so many times in our history, in just my short lifetime, I just told you, I'll be 48 years old coming up here in just a little over a month. I'm pretty young, considering. But in my short life, I have seen God's people dig a hole of fear. Dig a hole of fear. You know, we are so interested in not offending someone that we are unwilling to just simply tell the truth. Is there anyone here today that does not believe that this Bible is truth? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, then I think we already know that we have the most valuable resource and the only thing that will still be standing when this world is gone, and that is God's Word. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about you, but we've got nothing to fear. What was it? I think it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Not getting into politics, but he did make this statement. We only have to what to fear? Fear itself. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. There are lots of places and lots of times in my life when I had no idea what I was going to do. And you know what? There's even been further times. I'll be honest with you. The reason I started running from the call of God on my life was fear. You know why? Oh, you wouldn't tell it by looking at me today, but I was the shyest kid in the room. Didn't want nobody to say nothing to me. I wanted to come in, sit in my little corner, mind my own business, and go around my way. I wanted to be just like Mrs. Owee here. Just sit there and not say a word. Just grin a little bit and go on. Yeah, I'm going to get you to talk to me before I leave. I had no desire to stand up in front of a room full of strangers and say anything. Fear! And not relying upon God is what drove me down that road to begin with. How many of us are living in fear? How many of us have had times in our life when we have had to make decisions on whether to stand with God or to stand to the side. In order for us to have a better way to go. I have. I've done it. You can count me among the number that unfortunately has been ashamed of my Lord who did everything for me. I'm guilty. But let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about you. I think it was John over here in 1 John. I think it's not the fifth chapter. Look here in 1 John, 4th chapter. Let's go down here about verse, sitting on, let's back up to 13. John speaking here, he says this. He says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him," speaking of Jesus, "and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no what? Fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Let me tell you something, folks. We've got nothing to fear in this world whatsoever. I'm going to venture to say this. If we are unwilling to dig ourselves out of this hole that we have gotten in this country, how did we get here? How did our nation get to the point where it is so godless that even the mention of his name in public forum is shunned? I can tell you how. It was a slow process of wanting to fit in rather than stand up for God. Guilty. I've done it. Except now, what's happened? What's happened? There are things that are accepted, like that word. There are things that are accepted in this society today that makes God fiercely angry. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about you, and I have got lots of people around me that, and some that are living in outright sin, and I'm afraid my son may be even heading down that road very soon. But let me tell you something. It does not prevent me from telling him the truth. If you really want to love your friends, if you really want to love on your coworkers, tell them the truth. God calls it an abomination, it's an abomination. End of story. If God calls it murder, it's murder. End of story. But you know the problem? I'm going to tell you the problem. The church in general, I said in general, the church in general has been down the hole of fear so long that shame has taken over. You know why? I bet you can think of somebody in this congregation that's done some of the things that God would be greatly displeased with. I can at the two churches I've been associated with, so I doubt it's very much different here. And you know the sad thing that started about 25 years ago, or at least it did in my neck of the woods? Well, that's so-and-so's child. You know, let's not be too hard on them. Let me tell you something, folks. Let me share this with you right now. I don't know anything about this church other than y'all are some good people that I have talked to from time to time. I may never remember your name after today, but I can't help that. That's my fallacy. That's my weakness of my mind. But here is what I do know. There are too many times in our lifetime, my lifetime, where we have overlooked the sin of the congregation. To the point you might as well tear the church covenant off the wall and throw it away. Because it don't mean nothing. During those years that I was running astray, not one person came to me and told me I was doing wrong. Not one. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've got somebody in this church house that is running off in the pit of despair, if they're digging a hole that Satan is going to make sure he tries to cover them up in, you need to go to them today. Don't wait till it's too late. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful for the graciousness and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. But there are scars upon my back from my trip to the woodshed where God took me that were unnecessary if I had just been warned before I got there. Folks, we don't need to just talk the book, we need to live the book. You know, I don't know about you, but Paul's first letter to the Corinthians ought to straighten all of us out. There are things that he said specifically that we just overlook these days. Fornication, adultery, there's lots of our sister churches. I don't know about this one, so don't let me label y'all. But I know of situations where it's just overlooked. Why, brother? Why? You see, fear of not hurting someone's feelings is contagious, folks. Fear is contagious. You go over and you read where Moses was directing the Israelites over, and I think it's like the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. He was directing them over there about going to war and things that they needed to do. And one of the things he mentioned over there in those few opening verses is if any, be fearful. I'm paraphrasing. Go home. Because I don't want you to make your friend over here, your fellow warrior, I don't want you to make him fearful. See, just like this COVID thing, let me tell you something. Fear is contagious. Apathy is contagious. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm sorry. I understand that we live in a different time. I understand that there are things going on in this world that I do believe, in my honest opinion, God is judging this world to some degree, and we've got to be careful as God's people. I understand the principle behind us making sure that we sanitize our hairs, we wear masks, we try not to sit right on top of one another. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, there's a great deal many people using it as an excuse to stay out of God's house. Fear not them that can destroy the body, but fear them him rather that can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the man that I fear. None other. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the nation nationally, but John MacArthur's church out in L.A., I think it's L.A., it's in California, They've been in trouble because they refused to stop meeting. Now, I don't know too much about him. I know he's a good Bible teacher. I don't know what they I don't know if they teach coming up and saying a little old prayer, or what they teach when it comes to that. But there are 3,000 people every Sunday. I know churches that just almost need to shut their doors today because nobody wants to come. But they'll go to the Walmart. They'll go to the ball game. Kind of like that old Kingsman song, Excuses. I haven't heard that in a long time. I see a little smile over here. She knows the words. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. I sang that as a child. And you know, there's a great deal many of us, and I struggled with this. I struggled with the shame of what I had done. Who's going to listen to me? Brother, I want you to know I appreciate what you said in Sunday school this morning. Because it hit this point dead on. It don't matter what I did yesterday. Like the song you sang just a minute ago. My past is past. My sins are forgiven. Even today, folks, let me tell you something. If you have done things in your life that maybe this congregation knows, maybe your friends know, maybe everybody in the county, country knows. Maybe it's all public. Let me tell you something that I do know. You can allow Satan to keep you, even after God has forgiven you of those things, you can let Satan keep you locked up in a pit of shame where you're unwilling to work for the Lord. I know that because I've lived that one too, folks. Unwilling. Them folks ain't going to listen to me because they know what I did over yonder. That fella ain't going to listen to me because of what I did to him. Let me tell you something, folks. If God's in it, they'll listen. End of story. Like you said, brother, I ain't got nothing in this world but my testimony. That's all I've got. As dark and as harsh as some of those years of mine was, and as I crawled up that mountaintop to get back to where God wanted me to be, let me tell you something. There are times and places that I have shared every step, every crawl that I went up that mountain with some people. And you know why? Because they needed to hear it. And it didn't matter what they knew of me, and it didn't matter what they thought of me, and it did not matter what Satan would tell me every time that I would start to talk. They ain't going to listen to you. You sit on a bar stool beside them. You see, but that's the reason they might. Look, folks, that book right there that we hold so dear is something that we ought to strive to live by and not just read on Sunday and not just purport to our friends and not just purport to our children, but we need to spread it abroad, folks. If there is ever a time in the history of mankind that the fields are truly widened to harvest, it is today. Look, I know where there are missionaries in Kenya and in Jamaica and all these other places. Let me tell you something, folks. We need a mission right up here in Camden. See, what my grandmother, let me share this with you. When my grandmother was little, if she was still alive, she'd be 101 years old today. She died at the ripe old age of 96. God blessed her with a long life. But you know what? I've heard her tell this time and time again. When she was little, now we're talking about a long time ago, folks, 80 plus years ago, she said it didn't matter whether you went into the Presbyterian Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Baptist Church, they all preached repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Every one of them. Let me tell you something, folks. There is heresies being said even as I speak somewhere in this community today. You know, I often have times of pity on myself. I think we all do. We all, from time to time, have pity parties, right? Oh, woe is me. I always remember, I'm old, I remember Hee-Haw. Blue despair and agony on me. Y'all remember that little ditty? I see some of you shaking your head. You know, sometimes it's real easy. It's real easy to get yourself to the point where you just throw yourself a little pity party. God, I can't do this. God, I can't do that. God, you haven't done this, or God, you haven't done that. And you know what the real problem is? Real problem is we doubt God can do it. Let me share this with you. In the book of Mark, there's a story over here about a man and his son. Very familiar story. I'm sure that y'all have heard it preached 1,000 times. Mark the 9th chapter, and we find over here, this is right after. Peter, James, and John got to witness the transfiguration of our Lord. And we find as they come back down the hillside, there's a commotion going on with the other disciples. And of course, the religious elites are debating with the disciples, and you know, there's just a big commotion going on. But here in this 17th verse of the 9th chapter of the book of Mark, a man comes to Jesus as he walks up on this crowd, and one of the multitude answered and said, he says, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Let me ask you a question. Before I go any further, has there ever been a time in your life somebody come to you for help and you didn't think you could? You know, I do remember a few times in my life when, brother, as you said in Sunday school, when I was the pious one, back before I went stupid, I had friends come to me and ask me for help with things. And of course, I done told y'all I was the shyest kid in the room. Leave me in the back corner behind the flagpole. That's fine by me. You know, you look back on those times and you wonder, you know, God, I know there's something that I could have done or said if I had just been paying attention to you. But Jesus answered to him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, he said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. How many of us have had the same attitude when we went to prayer? God, if you can. If you can, I'd appreciate some help in this situation. You know the thing I think we often forget? If you love me, keep my commandments. And whatsoever you ask, believing. You'll have them. No, that doesn't mean that you need to start praying for $1 million. But let me tell you what you do need to do. You need to do exactly what Jesus said unto this man. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You see, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that I don't believe what this book says. Preacher, you mean that sincerely? I'm human. Peter was human. You know, sometimes I wonder what it would have been like to have been so on fire for God. You know, Jesus, Lord, come what may, I'm going to follow you all the way to the end. Only to just immediately, when accused of being one of his disciples, not me, I don't know what you're talking about, to the point he started cursing. You know what I think we all need a lot more of? I know I do. As he began to rail and cuss and foam as he stood there at that fire looking in at what was going on, I believe it's Luke's gospel makes mention of this. And Jesus turned and looked on Peter. Whew. Don't you know that wasn't a stare, brother? Let me tell you what I figure is not in the scriptures, that is, was exactly in Peter's mind the minute that his and his Lord's eyes locked, his heart melted into his shoes. Folks, we all need a little more of that. When's the last time you opened your book and just stared into the Lord's eyes? When have you tried to make the scriptures a mirror of your life? Now, let me tell you something, folks. It ain't easy. I would be lying to you if I told you it was, because it is not. But see, here's the problem. We still serve the same God, the same Lord, that anointed his church with power in Jerusalem. And tens of thousands were saved. I'd love to get a phone call here shortly. saying that my daughter has finally made it right with the Lord. She's at church this morning. She probably knows as much about the Bible as anybody here. You know why? She takes better notes than I can. Down to what time the preacher started, stopped, every song that's sung. Let me tell you something. The world is smart. There are people in this world that know a lot about the Word, but they don't know a lot about the Lord. And that's where we come in. Do we believe that God can? Do we believe that God can save our children? Do we believe that God can save this nation? Oh, brother, there's just some in this world, they're just too far gone. Let me tell you something. We need to quit doubting our own abilities and start leaning on the Lord and finding what His will is for every day. Let me tell you something. I don't think the Great Commission is something that we should take very lightly, especially today. You know, He didn't say, just take it to the Jews. He didn't say, well, just take it to Asia. Well, you know, maybe you can venture into... No. He said the world over. You know, I'm thankful for modern technology. You know, I'm thankful that there are people in the parking lot, possibly even down the road, they can hear my voice. But until we as God's people get serious about serving God and get out of our holes, what's going to happen? Is it just going to get worse? Well, I think James probably said it this way. You know, we all sometimes think that, I'm not too bad. Don't get me wrong, I have my faults and I do this and I do that. You know, James said it this way. He said this over at the ending of the fourth chapter, verse 17. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've heard preachers talk about this, the sin of omission. I call it the sin of do nothing. But I don't want to leave you on that note. Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus Himself said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Folks, we have at our disposal the greatest power known to this world. The greatest power known to this world. You know what? There is no reason that when we leave here today, if we were so minded to, if we could get down in this altar and honestly repent unto God and beg Him to show us what to do and then do it when He shows us. Oh, make no mistake, folks. You think the Great Awakening was something in the history books? Oh, you ain't seen nothing if God's people would just simply get on fire for God. Right? What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? All I want to know is this. Are we digging steps out of the hole we're in, or are we digging it deeper? Which one? That's my message today. If you're here today and maybe you've got maybe God is working on your heart. Maybe you're like I was as a 17-year-old boy running off into the world. Maybe you've got things in your life and that you're ashamed to bring out. Maybe you've got things in your life that you're still unwilling to let go of. Maybe you're like the psalmist when he said over in the 66th chapter and 18th verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what? God will not hear me. Look, folks, we need to get serious about what's going on around us. Why? Because there is such a great thing at stake, and it is the souls of men. Not only here, but at our workplaces. You know, I don't know about you. I have said this time and time again to my family. I said, whatever happens to me, if it benefits my family, so let it be. You know, I often wonder, I'm glad we were studying Job this morning. I often wonder if Job's friends were really paying attention to what was going on there. Because God was trying to teach them a thing or two rather than Job. If you're here today and you have that hole of doubt, maybe you don't think that God can do this or God can do that. Well, let me tell you something. My God can do anything He wants to. My God is standing with arms wide open, waiting for everyone in this building to come running. You know, I often think about the prodigal and that story that our Lord relates. That's just like our Lord every day. He's standing afar off looking to see whether or not we're going to come running. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, if you're here today and you're backslidden, I don't know y'all's custom here, but I encourage you to come pray. So, Myron, I'm done. If you want to get a song. I don't know if anything that I have said today is coherent. I don't even know if anything I've said is even matches together. You know, sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder if I had done things different. Don't fall in that pit either. You can't change what's happened, but you can change the here and now. So here and now, what are we going to do? As we stand and sing, I do encourage you all, search your hearts and find what God would have you to do today. Go ahead, brother.